777.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. 777, certainly not Wall Street's lucky number. That number reflects the worst point drop for the Dow ever after the House failed to pass the $700 billion financial rescue package. Just after the bailout fizzled, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson tried to stop some of the bleeding on Wall Street by putting out a statement. He said he'd do everything possible to protect markets. Like what? Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith takes a look at that as we continue our coverage of the financial crisis.
The bill may be dead, but don't write it off just yet, says Charles Gabriel, managing director of D.C.-based Capital Alpha Partners.
Quoting Miracle Max, the character on The Princess Bride, it could be only mostly dead.
Gabriel says that's because there's no way around a bailout bill. He says the government has already tried just about everything else, like injecting billions into the markets, taking over Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and brokering deals to save ailing Wall Street firms. But Gabriel says those massive actions have barely made a dent.
They've just tried one thing after another. This is the big last arrow in the quiver.
Gabriel says Democrats didn't do enough to rally troops around the bill. He says they wanted to use the crisis to criticize the Bush administration. And he says Republicans didn't want to stand up to their constituents, who don't think the Wall Street turmoil will really trickle down to Main Street.
That is absolutely heading towards the real economy, and this bill was designed to forestall that. And so far, the Congress has initially rejected it, and that is a disaster.
Gabriel says Paulson has two main options. One is pressuring lawmakers to pass the bill as is, or making some quick changes to get additional support. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace's Steve Henn is with us now from our Washington Bureau. Good morning, Steve. What sort of changes to the bailout are possible at this point?
I think they're going to be looking probably for relatively small changes. They only need to pick up 12 votes in the House to get a majority. There's going to be a lot of work done with people who are on the fence about how to tweak either the insurance program or oversight provisions or executive compensation provisions and, you know, probably some behind-the-scenes arm twisting.
So, Steve, what do you think we're going to see in the next couple of days here?
If I only knew, right? I mean, I think that the House will come back on Thursday. We know that. Obviously, the markets were down here in the States dramatically. But interestingly, you know, overnight, they didn't do so bad in Asia. And it doesn't look like they're going to open that much lower. They might open higher when Wall Street opens up for business this morning. So there's a really interesting dynamic going on right now. People are wondering if this crisis is really real. And so in a sense, they look to the stock market to judge that. And if the markets really rebound in the next couple of days, I think that might actually make it a little bit harder for a deal to pass. If things get worse, that's going to put a lot of pressure on the no votes to rethink their decision. So it's going to be interesting to watch, and I have no idea how it will end.
I hear you, Steve. And certainly there are all of those things that we don't see as easily as the Dow, like the very important credit markets playing into what's happening right now as well.
Well, that's right. And I think also that the entire financial crisis has been largely an abstract phenomenon on Main Street, right? You know, unless you were one of those people who was trying to buy a car and couldn't get a loan recently, this really hasn't directly affected very many people's lives yet. And so we're all left in the situation of having to take the experts' word for it that disaster's coming, the sky is falling. And when you're told the sky is falling and you need to write a giant check to some very wealthy institutions and people, it, you know, I think it's natural that the American public is viewing this with some skepticism and that it's a hard sell for members of Congress as well.
All right. Steve Henn in our Washington Bureau. Steve, thank you as always. And I'm sure we will be hearing from you very soon again.
Sure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. and by The Economist. Every week, covering issues that matter around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com.
We know Europe's been struggling with its own bank failures. Now the EU wants to overhaul banking regulations. Megan Williams reports.
If the EU proposal flies, European banking will be regulated by the country the bank is based in. About a quarter of European banking business is now cross-border. The EU also wants banks to put aside more capital and cash and to put a cap on lending to keep balance sheets strong. EU expert Giles Merritt calls the move a bit like closing the barn door after the horses have fled.
The real problem is now not whether or not banks are going to go bust, but how you coordinate European governments' management of a crisis.
Merritt says putting order into the wide range of European banks and financial institutions won't be easy, but it is, he says, a necessary, albeit slow, process. This one has been in the works for 10 years, and if the EU gets its way, will be passed tomorrow. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
After yesterday's bailout vote went bust, we asked for some thoughts from people in the nation's capital.
My name is Paul Borden. Even this bill, we're going to pay for it, taxpayer. But even so, we don't want our economy to collapse too.
America's not going to collapse. There's plenty of money out there. I've seen it in New York. I've just come from New York, Baltimore. People are out there shopping. People are out there buying, going out to dinner, they're full. So I can't see the collapse. I think it's just a scare tactic.
My name is John Mack. I am very unhappy because I checked my 401k this morning and I've lost a lot of money. If we don't do something, well, what's next?
Your thoughts are an important part of our coverage of the financial crisis. Tell us what you're thinking at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.